الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن أشد الناس عذابا يوم القيامة المصورون. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: لعن الله الناظر والمنظور إليه. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Just to recap and refresh our minds, we are still on the subject of photography and pictures, and it is a very serious matter because the sun is so common and we don't regard it as a sun, and it's a very serious sun that the taking of pictures, which has become so common with the cell phone, you don't have to pay any money also. Before, it was a long procedure, a long wait to get a photo. And an artist, well, hardly any one of us are artists that we could draw a picture, but with the camera it was so easy, but then too, and now with the cell phone it has become extremely easy, cheap, immediately. So the Hadith Sharif says the worst punishment on the day of Qiyamah will be for those who take photos and pictures of animate objects, whether it's of an animal, whether it's of a human being. And in one hadith it comes that the three categories of people will get the worst punishment on the day of Qiyamah. One is who kills a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. We can well understand murder, how severe it is, and the murder of a Nabi of Allah, or a person who a Nabi kills. And the second is those who are leaders and lead people astray to the wrong path. They will get the worst punishment. And the third will be those who make photos, who take photos, etc. And then we read in the hadith also that, and our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali should expound a lot on this hadith, that لَعَنَ اللَّهُ النَّاظِرِ وَالْمَنْزُورِ إِلَيْهِ. Allah's curses are on the one who looks and the one who presents himself to be looked at. Those of both of them, Allah's curses. Hazrat should explain, the curse of Allah means to be removed from the mercy and rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. Then as Hazrat should carry on, he should explain that those people are engulfed in the flames of the fire of Jahannam. And they are finding pleasure. The person who is looking is finding pleasure. The one who is looked at also finds pleasure in that. But they are engulfed in the flames of the fire of Jahannam. And that can't be even a mad person who can find enjoyment when he's burning in the flames of Jahannam. Really, it is only a person without any iman, that he has got no iman, and that's why he doesn't feel the flames of Jahannam. And then we explained in somewhat briefly the details, who can cover it. Very ancient history of how in the time of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, the people had taken so much to idol worship that they clearly told everyone, though they knew Nuh alayhi salam to be a very righteous, upright person, very pious, very person of great miracles also, but they said, لَا تَذَرُنَّ آلِهَتَكُمْ. Don't listen to Nuh, what he's got to say. Never ever give up the worship of your idols, the five main idols they had, etc. And all this came about by photography, photos. Not photography, picture making. The pictures of these people, and this eventually led them to worship those pious people. And the photos, and to revere and honor and respect the photos of pious people is a worse sin, because that leads to idols worship, and that is the worst sin. And then we have discussed also that by name change and method change, no difference happens to reality. And the name changes of many towns in the world today, but the town is still the same. And the method of getting there, you can use different methods, but it's still the same, you are reaching there. So the name change, whether we call it sketches, we call it drawings, or we call it pictures, or we call it now with the digital, over that, but it is still the same. No matter what name we call it, and no matter what method we use. In fact, one friend of us explained very nicely, a two-year-old child you take and you show him a sketch, hand-drawn, of a certain person. And then you show him a picture taken by a camera, a photo. And then a digital, he also will say it's a photo. All three are photos. What a two-year-old child can understand, but people of great learning can't make the difference. And they say they say it's not the same thing, it's a different thing. What is a picture, what is hand-drawn is different, camera is different, digital is different. The time of the camera, those people, learned people said it's not a sketch. And now with the digital, they say it's not that of a camera. But all that makes it even more haram because it is more accurate. So the more accurate it comes, and the cause of this which comes in the hadith, you are copying the creation of Allah. So now you are in a more perfect way you are copying it. So the punishment will also be much more, and that makes it much more haram. Also we explain that anything which leads to a haram, even if it is a halal thing, but leads to a haram, sababul haram, haramun. Then that thing that led to the haram will also be haram. And these photos which lead to the greatest haram, that is idol worship, shirk with Allah Ta'ala, so that will be even more haram. Photos are haram, even if they were not haram. If it was permissible, but it leads to that haram, it will be also haram. And then this aspect cannot be exhausted, the harms of photography. Clearly, it has killed our deen. The ruh and the spirit of deen has been taken out. Hajj, Umrah, Ziyarat, Kaaba Sharif, the sanctity of the masjid is completely gone. As one alim explained, that the masajid have become like wedding halls, with the cameras flashing, with the video people with their cameras there, and all the whole sanctity, deen is gone. The value of deen is gone. And the reality and spirit of amal are almost completely gone. And then this which led to TV, and TV we had made the world, though they can think themselves and call themselves very clever, very expert in things, etc. But we are guilty, we have been caught up in mental slavery. Maulana, who was here, Maulana Bhaijan, he explained that a young boy, watched TV for 72 hours continuous. After that, he took his father's pistol and he shot one person. When the police came, now the investigation, and we questioned him, he said that I saw on TV that you shoot and the person comes back to life. That it is just nothing. So I also thought he'll come back to life, nothing will happen. So much this mental slavery they have led us. And we know endless stories of young children who think they are also Superman, Tarzan, and they do all the funny things and all get killed in that process. So we just, and this hypnotism of this, the minds are completely hypnotized. And a person stops thinking, the mind does not function anymore. And yet the sad part, they regard themselves as they are very clever. It is like a husband who tells his wife, and in his mind is thinking that I am the best husband in the world, and I treat you the best. The wife, if she was walking and her one foot was above the ground, as she's stepping, she'll just freeze there. That you the best husband, that you are the best, whatever she was saying. And she'll tell him, you the best husband. So we think we are very clever nowadays, but we are the most stupid. And we have the only ones who are clever, Al-Qayyisu, Mandana Nafsahu, a quiet, intelligent person defined by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, knows and controls his nafs. That is a person, not a person who has become a slave of his nafs, and completely doesn't know. One is to be stupid, and you know you're stupid. And one is you're stupid and you don't know you're stupid. And one is you are stupid and you think you are clever. You are completely stupid. This is unfortunately. And all the other great, great harms of TV. Then that was ancient history of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Recent history about 100 years ago, when Allama Tantawi of Egypt, Al-Azhar, he gave the fatwa of photography being jayz, and other ulama also. But then, alhamdulillah, the ulama, especially of India, Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi, that they retracted and they understood and they said that we have done wrong. And Maulana Abul Kalam Azad went to the extent, when they asked him for his fota, he said that I did wrong. I understand. Taking of photos is haram. Keeping of photos is haram. Album, files of photos, whether your front page on your computer or whatever it is called, all that is haram. Now hide my faults. Don't advertise my faults. I was involved in this haram. I realized it. So from all that we should take here lesson. More recent history, that is about 50 years ago, Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullah Ali said that deen can never spread from TV. And TV, it comes from photos. If the TV doesn't, just remove all the photos and nobody will want to watch TV. It's all the photos, the pictures which are there, which people are watching. And whenever any person, an alim, is giving a bayan, why must his photo be there? He can have Kaaba Sharif picture there. The picture is not giving the message, you giving. So give it your audio. Yeah, give your message. You don't need to have a video there. Or you can have Masjid and Nabawi. You can have some beautiful scenery. There isn't more noor on your face than Kaaba Sharif or than Rozai Mubarak. And you are not more beautiful than all that beautiful sceneries. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, beautiful. So why must you be advertised there? You give your message what you want to give, though that is not also the asal. To give it over the radio or TV, even if it is without picture, though it will come in permissibility, but that's not the asal is one-on-one. That is when deen spreads. And then some people say that it is a necessity. We discussed that also, that a darurat, tabihul mahzurat, that when there is a necessity, then if permission is given of the things which are haram. And also it is to the extent that the necessity is there. And also one great difference we should understand, one is to make a haram thing halal. That is very, very serious. And one is due to some necessity you permit the haram. But then also it is just how much and just for the time that it is necessary. It's not forever. You have to, if you have to save your life, you have to eat pork. Now it's not, the pork hasn't become halal for you, but it's permissible to consume pork, but just so much to preserve, to save your life, and only for that time. When you get other food, then pork is not halal for you. It is haram as it was haram. Just like that also we should understand, during this COVID time, muftis gave permission. Juma namaz you can make at your workplace, your shop, your factory, etc. But now all those things are no more there. There is no more restriction. Now it's not permissible to make namazes at the factory, at the workshop. We should go to the masjid. Though we can just at the workplace in a few minutes complete our Juma, carry on with our work, but it's not permissible at all. We must go to the masjid to make our Juma. Same way any other namazes. We're having a family function. Now we say, okay, let's finish our meal nicely. We'll make our namaz here at home. No, we must go to the masjid. Those things only become permissible when it is a desperate need. And only to that, for that period and to that extent. It's not that it has become halal and now you can go to town with it. Also, the great malfoz of Hazrat Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, that never ever make a haram halal. Accept it as haram, even if you are involved, if you are involved in interest, if you are involved in insurance, take it as haram. Don't take it as halal. Make tawbah, istighfar, understand I'm doing wrong. There is a great possibility you will do tawbah. Even if you don't, there is also a great possibility Allah will forgive you. But if you make it halal, then you are gone out of the fold of Islam, if you change the religion of Allah tabaraka ta'ala. And then some incidents were mentioned of the buzurgs, and in that we should try and read what's the kitab, sir? Maulan Musa Kaji has compiled a very good kitab, Try and Acquire It. Change the bookshop. Oh, they are uncopied. But to speak to him, and very beautifully, all details are given in there, and very many, a few incidents of our Buzurgs we mentioned, but there are much more. In that, we should also understand, some friend asked also, when we tell them photography is haram, they say so and so Buzurg comes, so and so on video, on YouTube, he's regular on there. So they may be 20, they may be 200, they may be 2,000 in our circles. But that even if there are 2,000, which I don't think they reach that number, but then too it's a small number. The vast majority of ulama don't appear on TV and YouTube. It is just some, and it is just a big noise that these people, and we take their names that they appear. But it is very few, the vast majority don't. They are silent and they are against it. But they are just silent about it. From there also we should try and understand to be silent about this pandemic. This is a worse pandemic, and this is worse than COVID also, and worse than this all these pandemics also, and to be silent about it, it's very strange also. This, all the protocols which now they themselves admit, and they knew of it at the time also, and now they openly they're admitting it could help nothing to prevent the pandemic. But that we were so eager to observe it, to promote it. We told one another, where's your mask? Where's your mask? Your social distance, the way we were carrying on. And the real thing that we have to do, that is about our deen, photography, we don't tell anyone. And all are responsible. It's not just the duty of the ulama. It's their duty also that they inform, that we don't remain silent when this thing which is killing the ummah, killing our deen, to remain silent is worse than keeping silent about a pandemic or something. Everyone, as parents, mother and father, we are responsible. As the big people in our family, in our community, we are responsible. As teachers and ustads, we are responsible. If we are not speaking, we are not telling anyone, we are just keeping quiet about it, we are guilty also. And we become an accomplice to the sin also. And so it is our duty that we speak about it. Everyone, we should inform our children, make them aware of this. And if we don't, then they take advantage. When they take photos, and the time is there already now, that we just have to keep quiet. And all the haram is taking place around us because we are not speaking. And perhaps we have to save our own skin, because we also, when the occasion comes, we also take a photo. So we should abstain completely and speak out against it, and that will help us to save ourselves, to save our families. قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Save yourself and your families. If we are not speaking about it, but such a terrible sin, then we are also part of it, and may Allah protect and guide us. So it's very necessary that we also speak about this. Then a question also comes, when these ulama appear, so what must we do in such a case? Great, great ulama. And who are we? We are nothing. What must we do? So the Quran Sharif has given us complete guidance in every matter. The Quran Sharif, our Shaykh Jazahumullah Khair taught us, the greatest right upon us in our dunya's life, yeah, our parents. They have got the greatest right. Then is our Ustad, second. And third is our Shaykh. Though we got deen from our Ustad, we got deen and the reality of deen from our Shaykh, but Allah has kept the greatest right of our parents. But with regard to the parents, from there we can see that even my Ustad, if he is also appearing on TV, and my Shaykh is also appearing on TV and on YouTube. So we see the Quran has given us clear instructions. وَإِنْ جَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. That if your parents also have to tell you, and they argue with you, and they force you, that you must also associate partners, do guna, any wrong that they force you to do, then فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. There is no obedience for them. لَا تَعْتَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. And many other such principles with different variations in the word, that there is no obedience to the creation in the disobedience of the Creator. And Allah Himself has ordered and commanded obedience to parents. and made it a great, great ibadah, that you must be obedient to your parents. But Muslim or non-Muslim, if they have to tell you to do wrong, then there is no obedience in them. But see, the Quran Sharif is the Quran Sharif. فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. In dunya's matters, treat them in a good way. They are in need of financial help, help them. They are in need of physical help, help them. Though they are commanding you to do wrong, don't do that wrong. But still be good to them. So whether it is our ustad and they are also doing the wrong. Whoever does a wrong is wrong. By any great alim doing a wrong doesn't become halal, which is clear from the teachings of the Quran Sharif. اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم. That the Christians and Jews took their priests and rabbis as gods besides Allah and Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah showed it different, that Isa ibn Maryam, they actually worshipped him, which we take that they made him a god. But they did not make in that sense their rabbis and their leaders, spiritual leaders. They didn't make them gods in that form that they worship them, as we understand worship. Allah called worship when they followed them in the disobedience of Allah. When they made haram halal. In that, when they followed them, Allah said they worship them. So we also, no matter who it is, we respect them. We don't run down any person, anything. As Maulana Palanpuri explained, that if a Quran, with regard to this matter, when ulama teaching the wrong things, doing the wrong thing, whether it is modern Islam, whether it is university Islam, whether it is photo Islam, TV Islam, YouTube Islam, and they are doing the wrong things, then Maulana gave the example, if a Quran Sharif is printed with mistakes in it, then don't read that Quran Sharif. But don't disrespect that Quran Sharif. Bury it away nicely. Don't follow it. Read the Quran Sharif that hasn't got mistakes in it. So the same way, follow those ulama that are teaching us the love of Allah, direction to Allah, akhirat our object, deeni education our object, not dunya's things, who teach us to follow the deen of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, not some modern deen, not a deen that has been prepared in the White House in America, not anything else, but the correct deen. So that we should follow. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. And follow the path, إِلَيَّ. The path of those that whose hearts are inclined, and who incline your heart towards me. So see the way you get that. That is what you must follow. Our connection with Allah, love of Allah Ta'ala. Those who teach us that, follow those people. The Quran Sharif gives that command. Not those who teach you to be obedient to the government, or to be impressed with the TV programs and announcements which are made on TV, or what the atheist scientists say. Don't follow those people. وَاتَّبِعِ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. Those people who incline to me, follow their path. So look for those people, and Allah, it is, our Shaykh used to say, rahmatullah alayh, fadlan, it is wajib on Allah that He keeps such people. It's a matter for us to look for them. They will be there, always they will be there. Their numbers will be coming less as Qiyamah comes. But they will be there, it is for us to look for them and then follow them. Alhamdulillah, Allah's fadl. We got very good positive feedback from many of our satis, and a few of them, we'll see if there's time now, we'll just give that kar guzari, that how they though in things which seem impossible, really impossible, but how Allah's help has come to them, and they save themselves from this photos completely. That even if they are working, if their work is on the computer and going to various sites, and everywhere there is only photos today. But still, how we can save ourselves, we'll see if we get time. One very important thing also, this hadith that we read, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ النَّاظِرُ وَالْمَنْزُورُ إِلَيْهِ. This is what a great hadith also of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, that Allah curses the one who looks and the one who is looked at. So in that, basically, this is referring to looking at the satr from the navel to the knee. a man is not allowed to look at another man also from the navel to the knee, unless there is a necessity, a doctor, etc., some treatment we have to do, and they have to treat that part, but otherwise it's not. And the same way for a lady to look at another lady also. Between husband and wife there is no satr, that is different, but normally like that, it refers basically to that. But how, Allahu Akbar, our ulama, Allah give them great, great rewards. Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali, in the commentary of this hadith says, وَهُذِفَ الْمَفْعُولِ, that the maf'ool, the object, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ النَّاذِرِ, Allah's curses on the one who looks. What he looks at, that has not been mentioned. The object is not mentioned. لَعَنَ اللَّهُ النَّاذِرِ. And the other part of this, the second sentence, وَالْمَنْزُورِ إِلَيْهِ, and the one that is looked at. Yeah, the object is mentioned, the subject is not mentioned. In the first part, the subject is mentioned, the object is not mentioned. And the second part, the object is mentioned, the subject is not mentioned. And this now, and this shows the great knowledge and the great, great wisdom and brevity and conciseness and eloquence of the knowledge and speech of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He gave this one ruling, but how much he included in there. So Mullah Ali Qari rahmatullah alayhi says, the reason huzif al maf'ul li umma jami'a ma la yajuzu an-nazru ilayh, so that everything which is not jais to look at can be included. Not only that satr, but everything what is not permissible to look at, by presenting it in this beautiful way. What eloquence of speech of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And then another reason, tafkhiman lahu, to express the great severity and gravity and seriousness of it. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presented in this way, so that from that we can understand this is a very serious sin. It isn't a small sin, it isn't, today we have taken it lightly, unfortunately. It means nothing to us. A newspaper we're paging through, driving or walking on the street, billboards, we see women, etc. It means nothing. No tawbah comes to our mind. We don't think it is wrong. We don't think we must turn our eyes away. We shouldn't be looking. We just keep on looking. Then in Lam'at, Shaykh Muhaddith Dehlawi rahmatullah alayhi, right? In the commentary of this hadith, Zahirul lafz yatanawalu jami'a ma la yajuzu an-nadhru ilayh. The apparent words of this hadith includes everything what it is haram to look at. Now let us just look at that a bit more. What is haram on TV and YouTube, the porn and the other filth and dirt and news readers, we're not talking about that. But we are talking about those ulama and ladies also who present their religious things. There are many ladies, qariyas also, they read Quran Sharif and the photo is there. There are many who present nasheeds also, Qasida Burda Sharif also, and the photos are also there. So this, and ulama who present dini subjects and dini matters with regard to that. So let us understand, firstly, for a man looking at another man on the TV, YouTube is also haram. You are looking at a photo. So that is haram for you to look at. When a woman looks at a woman when she is presenting, that is also haram. Then there is a double haram when man is looking at a woman who is presenting. Whatever, very, she is reading so beautiful Quran Sharif and you are looking at her, you are in a double haram. You are looking at a photo and you are looking at a ghair mahram. And if a woman is looking at a man presenting some dini talk, she is also in two gunas. That she is looking at a photo which is haram, and she is looking at a ghair mahram which is also haram. Then there is a third haram also, and the most severe and most serious haram when it is the dini aspect, the third guna is that now when you are looking at that person and you come to revere, you respect and honor that person, this leads to idol worship eventually. And we should not think it's far-fetched. It's happening presently. There are cases where women have phoned, etc., and they've fallen in love with that alim on the YouTube. It was the actual case which I'm referring to was the time of TV. There wasn't YouTube and videos and that at that time. How she fell head over heels over one sheikh. And it's not anything new. Many such people go into the other matters. Don't look only what is presented there on the TV. How many of them have married for a second and third time? No problem. Get married for the fourth time also. But all these were haram relationships. And it all came by them being presented there. And you make up yourself. You have your facials done. And you appear in that way and you only present your bright side. And they don't see your dark side. And everyone has got two sides. Nobody of us are angels that we only got the bright side. We have all got, and they fell in love with those people. And how many cases where they had this illicit affair, and then you are presenting yourself as a very bright scholar of deen and a very progressive, but and behind the scene, what and what is not happening? So there, this third guna, and all that also, you got married now with halal, and that makes hajjaj or make. Forgives all the past haram also, but that it leads to idol worship, that is worse. And I personally, I mentioned this many times, we went to Indonesia and they asked us to make namaz in many places, shops, shop areas also, house areas, and everywhere, wherever they showed us the musalla to make namaz, two or three photos of the mashayikh just on top of the place where you make sajda. So eventually this will lead to idol worship. So all these haram things, the third thing is the most serious. And there are these three types of harams in all these things. And then again, all when the people who are coming on TV and YouTube with dini programs, bayans, or qiraat, or nasheeds, or any qasidas or anything like that, they also think they are doing a great work of deen. And the viewers, the presenters also, and the viewers also think we are in deeni work. We are watching a deeni program on TV, whatever, YouTube and that. And in the meantime, all the time, the hadith says, La'an Allahu Nazir. Allah's la'anat upon those people. Allah's curses. The flames of the fire of Jahannam has engulfed those presenters also and the viewers also. And they are thinking we are doing great work of deen. Shaitan, how he has misled us. And that we are so convinced we are doing the right thing and we are doing the worst guna. We are engulfed in flames and we are thinking we are doing right. And all this is, don't think about other people. Don't think of those ulama people who are presenting themselves. We who are watching. Think we are making that guna when we are watching. And all of us are guilty in whichever degree and whichever way we all are guilty. So we should make tawbah to Allah Ta'ala and we should put a dead stop to all this haram. It leads to great, great destruction in our deen. And all this is Allah only knows what parda and what veils are on our eyes, our brains, and our thinking, which Allah explains clearly, لا تعمل أبصار. It's not the eyes of the head that are blind, ولكن تعمل قلوب التي في الصدور. But in the heart, the eyes of the heart, which are in your bosom, they are gone blind. And these people, they are convinced we are doing right. And clearly it is, very clearly, that it is total haram. And a person is involved in the worst of haram. No matter who it is, if it's a haram, it's a haram. If we don't call a haram, then it is also a serious thing. And for all of us who are in a leadership position, whether we are parents, we are the big people in the family, in the community, we are imams, we are ulama, it is our duty to inform the people. If we don't, then all of us are also part and parcel of that sin. If we are keeping quiet, we are part and parcel of that sin. Wherever we can, however, whether it's only in the family, our immediate family, whether it is if we have got position in our extended family, it is our duty to inform everyone. Not just to keep quiet and to keep the peace. but that we explain that this, and we don't have to be rude, we don't have to be harsh, we don't have to condemn, we don't have to swear, we don't have to use all types of adjectives and epithets, but say what is to be said and say it in the most acceptable way. How it can be accepted, but it is our duty to do that. And in these matters, like this photo, like a 2-year-old child will tell you it's a photo, it's a picture. All the people also will say, and the makers of it, they also say it's a picture. And as we had explained, that a person who admits that I'm guilty, and he's in the docks and in court, and he himself says, they ask you, do you plead guilty? Not guilty. He says, I plead guilty. Now the public prosecutor, the lawyers, even the judge, all are trying to prove him he's not guilty. He's saying, I'm guilty. The photo says itself, I'm a photo. And the makers of it, they all say it's a photo, it's a picture. And we trying our utmost to prove it's not a picture. And we use all types of stupid arguments, which Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, tumhare lahwa ta'wilat se haram halal nahi ho sakta. All your own little, all your imaginary, what you have flowered up with great terms of Shariat, or whether it's in banking, whether it is in photography, all those things, it has no value by the eyes of Allah. In the eyes of Allah, it will fall back on you very severely. Accept what is haram as haram. Don't try and make it halal. And Shariat accepts also that everyone says it's a picture. What comes on the TV, what comes on the YouTube, everyone will say it's a photo, it's a picture. And Shariat accepts what the concepts of people are also. Like for example, the Quran Sharif says that your parents don't tell them oof. Now the ulama have explained, Mufassirin, it's not only the word oof, but any word, any of your facial expressions, any of your remarks which will hurt their feelings. So all that is also included. Similarly also, the respect of the Quran Sharif, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Gangoi Rahmatullah Ali was asked that some places they put the Quran Sharif on the floor. So, and we regard it as disrespect. So what is the, is it disrespect or not? Mufti Sahib said, in your circles, what is regarded as respect, that will be counted as respect in Shariat. And in your circles, if it is not regarded as disrespect, like those who put the Quran Sharif on the floor. One friend of us explained, one person he saw making, reading Tasbih. And the Tasbih was on the ground, on the floor, on the Musalla. So he told him, you're taking Allah's name. So he says that, when I put my head on the, for Sajda, then my head I'm putting. So isn't that disrespect also? And he had all his arguments also. So what is regarded as what is understood in Urf, what the people understand, Shariat has accepted that. And the people accept anyone you ask on the TV, what is this? They'll say it's a picture. They're not going to say it's a digital and with all those things. It's a picture. Everyone will say it's a picture. Whether it's on the camera, whether it's drawn by hand, all will say it's a photo, it's a picture. So all that is completely haram and very important to understand on others, which Maulana Abul Kalam Azad Rahmatullahi said in detail. He says, please understand the taking of photos, the keeping of photos, files and albums, looking at photos, all of them are totally haram. So for us, don't worry what the ulama, we are not going to argue and debate with ulama. It's not our work, it's not our duty, it's not our scope at all. Don't even think about that. Think about ourselves. Shaitan fools us that we don't think what we have to be doing. And we in our minds also, we thinking of ulama, etc. Whoever may be coming on TV, YouTube, that is a different story. But we for ourselves, I must not take photos. I must not keep photos. no files of photos, no albums of photos. I must not look at photos. This is what I have to do. And in that, all the other things also, whether it is dolls also, whether for our children we keep dolls also, the teddy bears also, all this with the eyes and that on it, that is not permissible. Then also, these mounds of animals, many good people, whatever you went hunting and you took the head of that animal, you have mounted it in your house, in very good homes, that is also all haram, all that. Whatever it is, all those type of things, we should totally keep away. And if we want the farishtas of rahmat to come in our homes, keep it away. If we want shaitan to come, that is the invitation for shaitan. Photos, albums, files of photos, photos displayed in the house, with newspapers lying around, magazines lying around, then the devils come in that house. And they bring with them discord between husband and wife. They bring with them financial problems. They bring with them all diseases and ailments and illnesses. And when we get rid of all that, and then the farishtas come, namaz in the house, tilawat of Quran Sharif in the house, that brings love between husband and wife. You could have been fighting for the past 30 years in your marriage. You will see now Allah will change it to much more greater love and respect and honor for one another. And you could have diseases in your house, illnesses which doctors couldn't diagnose, forget, treat. They couldn't even make out what that is. Bring Quran Sharif, bring namaz, and see that will just vanish. But you had financial problems. And how many cases, when they brought these amal of khair, then Allah removed all that. So if we, and that is for dunya. Our maut will come mubarak. Our qabr will be mubarak, which is much more important. Our akhirat, and Allah will give us our jannah. So let us refrain from all those things in all ways. Again, the time is gone past. We'll try and have that little bit karguzari and see what good feedback there is and how positive that feedback is. And even in these times, mashallah, there are those friends. One friend of us, Brother Abdul Ahad, who has come many times here to the Khanka from Sri Lanka. Also, how he has avoided all these pictures. Inshallah, we'll try and discuss that. May Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah.